1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we can read at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There are many ways of dividing people, many ways of categorizing, many ways of putting people into different groups. Some do it on the basis of class, upper, middle, lower. Some do it using socio and economic categories, A, B, C, D, E. Others do it on the basis of perhaps colour. How does God divide people? How does God categorize? In God's eyes, how many divisions are there when he looks at the human race, when he looks at us here this evening? Well, there are two fundamental categories, two basic groups. God divides everyone into one or other of these two kinds, brought before us, especially here in this chapter. There is the natural person, and there is the spiritual person. The natural and the spiritual. And we would like to look this evening at the difference between the natural person, or as we might call him this evening, Mr. Natural, and the spiritual person, Mr. Spiritual. And of course, they might as well and as easily be female. It's the same. We hear a lot today about, oh, such and such is a very spiritual person. Recently, it was said of a very ungodly and wicked celebrity, oh, she's a very spiritual person. And therefore, when we say the world is divided into natural and spiritual, we have to try and define what these words mean, because, as usual, the world has debased them, twisted them, changed them. When it's said today that somebody's a spiritual person, usually it means that they are interested in the occult, or the supernatural, or the paranormal, the unusual phenomena seen and detected in this world. Or perhaps it usually means that they are interested in their own spirit and trying to find the inner self. They're trying to find who they are. This is what the world means when it says somebody is a spiritual person. Well, we'd like this evening, with the help of God, to redefine what spiritual means using God's word. I'd like to then compare Mr. Natural with Mr. Spiritual. You can think perhaps, first of all, of comparing their spiritual knowledge. Mr. Natural, his knowledge is spoken of here in this chapter. Earlier on, in chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world. Now, Paul is acknowledging here that Mr. Natural, the princes of this world, has a wisdom. They have knowledge. But what kind of knowledge is it? Well, the natural person, it can have great knowledge of natural things. They can be experts in their chosen fields, whether it's science, literature, art, sport, astronomy, whatever. They can have great natural knowledge, and they can even have great knowledge of the spiritual world. They can be very up to date with the latest spiritual fads and fashions. And yet Paul is still describing this as the wisdom or the knowledge of this world. It's all confined to this world. It's limited by this world. And his proof of this is what they did and what they do to the wisdom of God. For example, in verses 7 and 8, Paul begins to describe the wisdom of God, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. The hidden wisdom, that is Christ before his incarnation, veiled, concealed, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which God planned to eventually result in the good and the glory of his people. And yet he says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, Paul is acknowledging these men that crucified Christ were not stupid men. They were not uneducated. They were great leaders. They were very educated politically and even religiously. They had a great knowledge of natural things. And as far as the Pharisees and Sadducees went, they had a great knowledge of spiritual things on the surface. The spiritual things that can be known by simply a natural researching in this world. But, he says, they didn't know the hidden wisdom. They didn't know Jesus Christ. And the proof is the way they treated him. Friend, this is one of the ways by which you can infallibly know if you are a Mr. or Mrs. Natural. How do you treat Jesus Christ? Not how much education do you have. Not how up to date are you with the latest spiritual trends, fads and fashions. But how do you treat, how do you regard, how do you react to the wisdom of God? Have you seen, as it were, beyond the surface? Have you seen the significance of Jesus Christ? Or are you like these people here because you have not seen who he really is, what he really is, what he can really do for you? You disregard him, neglect him, turn your back on him and ignore him. This shows your lack of spirituality. It shows that you are a natural person, that you're simply confined to this world and your own reasonings. Because if you did know Christ, you would react very differently. You would go out after him with love and affection. You would put your trust in him. You would follow him. You would value him. Of course, this is what Mr. Spiritual does. He sees beyond the surface. These people who crucified Christ, they saw just a man. They saw a despised man. They saw a weak man. They saw one crucified in weakness. But there were some, even at that crucifixion, who saw beyond the surface. We think of the thief on the cross. We think of the centurion at the foot of the cross. They were given a spiritual knowledge, a spiritual wisdom. They saw something that others did not see. And the greatest proof of their having this spiritual knowledge was their response to Christ. Their outbursts of language full of faith, adoration, worship, love. And this again is one of the infallible ways by which you can tell if you are like Mr. Natural or like Mr. Spiritual. How do you react? How do you view? How do you regard Jesus Christ? But then secondly, let us compare the spiritual experience of Mr. Natural and Mr. Spiritual. Think of Mr. Natural, first of all. What's his spiritual experience? Well, it's described here in a sense in verse 9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is describing everyone by nature. Everyone as they are born into this world. You and I, without the Spirit of God. Mr. and Mrs. Natural, here is how we are described. Our eyes don't see. Our ears don't hear. Our hearts don't understand the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It's like trying to describe the sea to somebody who's only known the desert. It's like inaccessible knowledge. It's as if there is a huge barrier. Probably most of us, if given long enough, if given enough teaching and education, would be able to advance in knowledge in every single area of natural knowledge. We may feel we're not very good at maths, but given enough education, given enough time, given enough discipline, we would begin to make some progress. Our eyes would begin to see, our ears would begin to hear, would begin to understand. But here, speaking of spiritual experience, we're told that no matter how long you try, hard you try, no matter how much help you get, your eyes cannot see, your ears cannot hear, your heart cannot understand. It is inaccessible knowledge to the person who only has their own nature at their disposal. And therefore, when spiritual things are described, their eyes just don't see it. Your ears just can't hear it, and your heart just can't understand it. We think perhaps of the psalm we were singing in Psalm 63, so full of Christian experience. I wonder, did you really think about it as you read it, as you sang it? And did you ask yourself, do I know anything about this? Or am I saying there's something that's completely alien? Do you know anything about this soul thirst? Do you know anything about this desire to behold the power of God and the brightness of his glory? Do you know anything about this? Better is thy love than life. Do you know anything about this? With marrow and with fat, my soul shall be filled. you know anything about this? When I do thee upon my bed, remember with delight. And when on thee I meditate in watches of the night. Do you know anything about that? What about this? My soul thee follows hard. Do you know anything about that? Or, if you're honest, are you saying, my eyes have never seen it. My ears have never heard it. It's never entered into my heart. I have no idea what you're talking about. I can talk about going to church. I can talk about reading my Bible. I can talk about saying my prayers. I can talk about trying to be good. But that language, that experience, to be honest, I know nothing about it. If that's your honest conclusion, then you are a natural person. You still have only your own nature to get you through life, through death, and to judgment. But notice and compare and contrast Mr. Spiritual's Christian experience. Because the apostle goes on to say, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Here Paul is saying there's a big difference between Mr. Natural and Mr. Spiritual. Mr. Spiritual has had these experiences. Now these words are often quoted to describe perhaps what still lies ahead of the Christian. I have not seen, ear not heard, nor entered into the heart of man. But actually what Paul is saying is, no, it's not a future experience. This is a present experience. Our eyes see, our ears hear. It has truly entered into our hearts already, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. The Christian has experienced. He has seen, he has heard, and he has understood the wonderful gifts that God has prepared for those who love him. And they are experienced here and now in this earth and in this soul that we have. The Christian goes to Psalm 63 and says, thirst, I know all about that. Longing in a dry parched land, I know all about that. Beholding God's power and the brightness of his face, I know that, and I want to know more. Better is his love than life, I've tasted that, not often, but now and again I've known that. Being filled as with marrow and with fat in the soul, yes. Better than the richest food I've ever experienced. Lying on the bed at night, unable to sleep, and yet not fretting, because enjoying thoughts of God. Yes, now and again I've known that. My soul thee follows hard. Yes, blessed experience. Here is somebody who knows exactly what Paul is speaking about here. And notice how they have experienced it. Is it by research? No, he says, it's by revelation. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It's not something that's earned, deserved, worked for. It's something that is gifted. These precious experiences in the Christian life that God has prepared are his gift. The context here, as you'll notice, Paul says, as it is written. It's a reference to an Old Testament passage in Isaiah. And it's speaking of the experience of God's people in Babylonian exile. And it's speaking of how they will experience the deliverance from that exile. What they will pass through in their own hearts and minds when they are eventually returned to Zion. And this is how it's described. Their eyes and their ears and their hearts will be overwhelmed with the experience. Even if they'd sat down with the greatest minds amongst them for days and tried to write out what it would be like to return to Zion, he's saying, you would never have come anywhere near what that experience was like. I never saw it. Ear never heard it. It never entered into their hearts until they did experience it. And then, as the psalmist says, when Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, then filled with laughter was our mouths, our tongues with melody. They're saying it was better than we could have ever guessed, we could ever have imagined, we could ever have created. It exceeds our wildest expectations. And is this not what the Christian feels when he compares himself or herself with what he was like before and now? When he thinks back to when he was simply Mr. Natural, and he heard the Christian faith being presented, he heard Christians witnessing, he heard them talking about their experiences. He said, I don't know anything about that. I don't understand it. Never passed through these things. I wonder what it would be like. And I'm sure there are some of us here who have gone home. Maybe some of you, even tonight, will go home. And you'll sit down and you'll wonder what it is like to be a Christian. Wonder what kind of thoughts, wonder what kind of feelings, wonder what kind of experiences I might have. I wonder what it would actually be like to know Jesus Christ. I wonder what it would be like to have love in my heart for God. I wonder what it would be like to taste true repentance. Well, no matter how much you think, imagine, guess, dream, you'll never come close. God promises that here. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, heart hath not understood the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Isn't that the experience, Christian? When you now look back, you think to yourself, the half was not told me. Are you a Mr. Natural or a Mr. Spiritual when you think of these spiritual experiences? You think of Nicodemus there. What was he like? He was a master in Israel. He was a rabbi. He was very well educated, very well taught. Jesus began to speak to him of the new birth and of the experience of being born again. And what was his reply? How can these things be? His eyes didn't see it. His ears didn't hear it. His heart didn't understand. And Jesus replied, are you a master in Israel? And you don't know these things. And how often could that be said? Are you, Mr. Natural, saying, how can these things be? Or are you, Mr. Spiritual, saying, the half wasn't told me? But then let us compare their spiritual receptivity. In verse 14 we're told, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What's this like? It's like there's a radio transmitter and it's beaming out its signal, absolutely clear, loud. And yet when it reaches you, it goes straight past you, because you don't have a receiver. You don't have an aerial that will, as it were, conduct the message into your hearing. And this is how the natural man is here described. Here's a picture, Paul's speaking in the previous verses of speaking about spiritual things, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He says, we're not speaking in the words which man's wisdom speaketh. He's speaking spiritual words in a spiritual way. And here they're being transmitted out. They're coming loudly and clearly. And yet here's a man, and it says he doesn't receive it. He has no receiver. He has no receptors. He's got nothing to conduct the message into his understanding. And it doesn't matter how often that signal is beamed out and broadcast. It just keeps going straight by him. It just bypasses him. And indeed it goes further. It says, neither can he know them. In other words, this is not a matter of choice. It's not as if the natural man is sitting there saying, will I or won't I? Will I hear or will I not hear? Will I understand or will I not understand? What's being portrayed here is, you can't. It's absolute. It's not as if you've got the aerial and you're deciding, will I receive the signal? He's saying you don't have the aerial. And it doesn't matter in a sense how often that message is broadcast if you don't have the receiver. And that's why it is foolishness to you, isn't it? I wonder if that's true. Can you honestly say, Mr. Natural, Mrs. Natural, that you've never sat here or in other congregations and heard the word preached? You've never said, even quietly, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. That's foolishness. Is the problem with the message? Or is the problem with you? Why is it foolishness? Why is it absurd? Why is it ridiculous? Why is it beyond belief to you? It's not because of your intellectual ability. It's because of your spiritual inability. That's hard, isn't it? You mean to say Here am I with all my hires and my degree and my achievements, and that little person that's never gone to higher education and has never achieved anything but is a Christian, they can understand more than me. Yes. They have the aerial. They have the receiver. That's why, as we're singing in Psalm 119, the psalmist can speak of knowing more than the ancients, of knowing more than people with vast amounts of years and experience and education, because one has an aerial and one doesn't. One has a receiver and the other doesn't. The spiritual person receives because he has the aerial. What is the aerial? Well, in a sense, Paul here is presenting it as the Spirit of God. How does he show it in that way? Well, how are we going to get knowledge of God, out of God, and into our souls? How are we going to get that broadcast, received? Here is how it happens. We read here in verse 11, "What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." What Paul here is saying is, you're the only one that knows what's in your heart, really. What man knoweth what's in the spirit of man but that man himself? Likewise, who knows God but the Spirit of God? But then what do we read? We read this in verse 10. How does God reveal them to us? By His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Here is the Holy Spirit going deep into God and bringing out truth, bringing out knowledge, bringing out wisdom, and broadcasting it to those who also have that Spirit. It is a spiritual transmission from Spirit to Spirit by the Spirit of God. Verse 12, we have received. There's a reception. What? Not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. This is what explains the knowledge and the experience of Mr. Spiritual. It's because he has the Spirit. And this is what makes him Mr. Spiritual. This is what distinguishes him from Mr. Natural. He has the Spirit of God. Who are you? When you look at your receptivity, when you look at how you respond to the word, does most of it, if not all of it, simply pass you by? Perhaps in the sound of it all, there's a foolishness, as it were, in it. An absurdity. It's ridiculous. Or are you this spiritual man, spiritual woman? You know you're not very able mentally, intellectually, and yet somehow or other, mysteriously, you're growing in knowledge. You're growing in experience. And the sole reason is, we have the Spirit which is of God, which delves deep into God and goes deep into the soul. And then fourthly, we can compare the spiritual resources of these two. And it's put very simply here. Here's Mr. Natural. What's he received? What are his spiritual resources? He has a spirit, in a sense. It's called the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world. That's what Mr. Natural has to help him as he prepares for the trials of life, and as he prepares for death, and as he prepares for judgment and for eternity. Here is the extent of his resources. It's the spirit of the world. What's that? What can the world give us? What resources can we get? What is it that characterizes the world? How is it that the world tries to face these things in life? What is the spirit of the world? Well, is it not the spirit of logic and of reason? If it's logical and if it's reasonable, the world will accept it. It's the spirit of, we might call it materialism, not meaning the pursuit of money, but if I can see it and touch it and hear it, I'll believe it. A belief in the material, if it's verifiable, if it can be supported with evidence, then I'll put my confidence in it. If it's something I can see and hear and touch, then that will do me. This is the spirit of the world. Logic, reason, evidence, empiricism, materialism, what's verifiable. That's the extent of faith, as it were, in the world, which is no faith, of course, at all. But Mr. Spiritual has far deeper resources than that. He has the Spirit of God, which at times defies logic and goes beyond reason and is certainly not verifiable by evidence. And yet, what resources they are. Invisible, yes. Intangible, yes. Inaudible, yes. But substantial and huge compared with what the world has. And again, that's your choice. What are your resources in life? What is it you depend on? What do you trust in? Is it the spirit of the world? Or is it the spirit of God? We have to move on. Compare also the spiritual discernment of Mr. Natural and Mr. Spiritual. Mr. Natural has no spiritual discernment, as we read here in verse 14. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, Mr. Natural can have tremendous discernment in natural things. Great ability to distinguish with the eye, with the ear. The eye can tell the difference, perhaps, between a fake and a forged painting. The ear can tell the difference between a skillful playing of Mozart and an unskillful playing of it. The tongue can taste the difference between a 1964 wine and a 1984 wine. The nose can tell the difference between different fragrances, plants, without even seeing them. There can be tremendous discernment of the natural senses in the natural man. He can tell the difference in politics, can tell the difference in society. He can distinguish easily in many areas of natural life. But when it comes to the things of the Spirit, it is utterly beyond him, because it requires the Spirit to do so. And here the spiritual person is described in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This is somebody who is independent of the majority. Somebody who can come to decisions about spiritual, moral and religious matters on their own. They're not dependent entirely on a minister or on a church or on a group of people to tell them what's right. They are taught of God. He is judged of no man. When the Spirit has shown him a truth, he'll hold on to it, no matter how many throw it away. When the Spirit's shown him something is wrong, he'll shun it, no matter how many people do it. He has an independency of mind. Indeed, he has the mind of Christ. Verse 16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is what the Spirit brings into the experience of the Christian. Access to the very mind of Christ. Therefore, there is a great ability to discern between truth and error, right and wrong, what's true and what's false. How often people's spirituality is dictated by who is with them at the time, by personal interest, by peer group pressure. But here is somebody who stands alone, who stands apart, who so feels the power of God in their lives that they stand, if necessary, alone with what is right and proper, regardless of consequences. And then finally, there is a comparison in spiritual language. Paul here describes the natural man's language. In verse 13, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Again, this is the extent of Mr. Natural's language. It's what man's wisdom teacheth. He can talk about spiritual things, but where has he learned them? He's learned them from other men. And the language in a fellowship or in prayer might be very orthodox, very proper, but it's learned from men. That's what Paul is speaking of here. It's words which man's wisdom teacheth, and to the spiritual ear it's detectable. But here Paul is saying, we speak in a different language, with the language that the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, when this spiritual person is shown something, a truth, a doctrine, where does he go with it? Does he compare it with what science says? With what secular history teaches? No. He compares spiritual things with spiritual, the New Testament with the Old. He takes what he's learned and compares it with Scripture. Does it fit? Does it match? And he speaks in a spiritual language. Again, it's detectable, isn't it? Mr. Natural and Mr. Spiritual can say the same words, but there's a difference in the hearing of them. Indeed, Mr. Natural can speak of spiritual things with an incredible eloquence. And Mr. Spiritual might be stumbling over his words and syllables. And he might sound at times confused. But the spiritual ear detects the Spirit of God in the one and the spirit of the world in the other. You couldn't put it into words, but there's a difference. Where do you find yourself tonight as we hold up these two figures, as it were, in a mirror? Mr. Natural and Mr. Spiritual. Compare their spiritual knowledge. Compare their spiritual experience. Compare their spiritual receptivity. Compare their spiritual resources. Compare their spiritual discernment. And compare their spiritual language. And ask yourself, who am I? And then, where am I going? Where is Mr. Natural going? And where is Mr. Spiritual going? Do you not need the Spirit of God, friend? Do you not need the Holy Spirit to transform you and change you? Plead for Him. Beg for Him. That you might make that change even tonight by His power and grace. Do you not long for it? Do you not want it? Let us pray. O Lord our God, help us to honestly face ourselves in the mirror of Thy Word. Help us to see whose character we have. Help us to take appropriate action. Oh, that all who are natural would become spiritual, and all who are spiritual would become more spiritual. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.